Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. The Titans and the rest of the NFL must have their roster set at 53 in about 57 minutes when that deadline will hit. We're seeing cuts across the league. Terry McCormick has been on top of it for the Tennessee Titans, and we say hello to him now. Terry, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are doing fantastic. To me, I'm just going to hit a few, and then we'll add more as we go. The James Prochet release is probably the most surprising one that I have seen to this point when it comes to the Titans. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think so. But he's in a situation where he's a veteran, so I don't think he has to go through waivers. So he can free to sign with any team. I think the Titans would like to put him back on the practice squad, elevate him for at least the first week, and then maybe sign him back to the active roster. That's what they did with James Lynch last year, because once week one is passed, guys don't – their salaries – veteran guys, their salaries are not guaranteed for the year. So you're being paid week to week rather than the full guaranteed salary, even if you're cut. So I think that's probably what they're gambling on here. They just have to hope that Prochet doesn't go somewhere else and find a job in the next 24 hours.
So if they let's just play the what-if game. If they don't bring him back, if they're unable to bring him back, who's the return guy for this team right now?
Well, it would probably be Chimre Dike, and who knows if he's ready, or they would hit the waiver wire and look for somebody to take over that role. I know I read that the Broncos had released their return man, so that might be an option right there. Go right at the week one opponent and pluck their returner and bring him to your side.
The one thing that I'm curious, or one of the things I'm curious about, is Tajay Spears will be on IR to start the season, the first four games. We know Julius Chestnut and Khalil Mullins are behind Tony Pollard on the depth chart. I do feel like, though, that they might look at the waiver wire to see what's out there. Are there some guys that maybe stand out to you that the Titans could be interested in?
Yeah, there are a couple. I mean, you know, they're always – running backs, it's an easy place to find help on the waiver wire. And I think if you're looking for a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield, which was, you know, what Tajay Spears' big role was going to be, as well as being the caddy for Tony Pollard, I think then that really, you know, is an area where you can find somebody who can do that, even if it's only short term until Spears gets back, because I found out yesterday that that was their plan, was to put Spears on IR. So, you know, you immediately think of Chestnut and Mullins, but neither one of those guys fit the same mold as Spears. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see them go shop on the waiver wire to try to find somebody to fill in.
Terry McCormick is on the Chase and Big Joe show. Terry, whatever happened to Paul Williams, that receiver from Fresno State that was on the practice squad for 15 years?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember that guy?
I do remember that guy. I think he had one career reception.
Right. They loved him. Fitch was like, oh, that guy's a great guy. They kept him around. When I hear cut days and 53 in practice squad, Paul Williams always comes to mind because he always had good camps, but he never made the team, which leads me into like the Restrepo love that everybody had. It's like, oh, where are they going? But this guy, I don't remember the last time Paul Xavier Restrepo, a player, caused this much consternation to a fan base. He was never going to make the team.
No, I don't think so either. Now, he might get back on the practice squad. You know, that wouldn't be a surprise, but I think part of the reason that people were infatuated with him was because he was Cam Ward's primary target at Miami. And he did have over 1,000 yards receiving for the Hurricanes. But when he ran that 4.8 in the 40
right
slow day, you know, that pretty much lets you know that all bets were off concerning him making a 53-man roster, especially at his size, at about 5'9 and about 180 pounds. By the way, I think Paul Williams, you know, he was a pretty good songwriter back in the day, too.
He was. He was great in Smokey and the Bandit. He was really good doing that. Terry McCormick is on with us today. So with all the cuts, anything that just, like, hit you like, oh, wow, because I think you've predicted most of this was going to happen.
Yeah, I think one thing that jumps out to me is this. You know, we all talked about how bad John Robinson's last few draft classes were from 2020, 21, and 22. But the 2023 class is starting to circle the drain as well, my friends. Jalen Duncan, Josh Wiley cut today. Colton Dowell cut near the start of training camp. Will Levis on season-ending IR. Who knows if he'll ever play for the Titans again? He's a candidate to be traded next year once he gets healthy. And now Tajay Spears on the short-term IR. Peter Skoronski, the lone man standing on the active roster from a draft class of 2 years ago, guys.
Right.
2 years ago.
Yeah, you know, a topic we had earlier that Chase and I did, Terry, was how did this team get so bad so quickly? I mean, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years, and by the fourth year it's like, oh, we saw this coming. But this team got really, really bad very fast.
Yeah, and it's because you keep missing on draft picks. You know, you keep striking out at, you know, on your draft picks. I mean, they've got three guys, you know, I think I have to credit Mike Herndon to this, because when I tweeted out that, you know, so much of the 2023 class was gone, three guys from between 2020 and 2023 that are going to be on their opening day roster. Those three are Peter Skoronski, Chig Okonkwo, and Roger McCreary. Now, those are all nice, solid players, but there's not a star among them, not one. You know, instead of having three guys from a four-year span, you need 15 or 20 guys that are contributing, and you need two or three of those guys to be stars. That's exactly how it fell apart.
Terry McCormick is with us. Do you feel like they're going to look at a quarterback on the waiver wire with so many out there, or do you think Brandon Allen is the backup and Simeon to the practice squad is the way they're going to go?
That's probably the way they're going to go. Now, if it were me, I would take a flyer either on Kyle Trask, if he's healthy. I think he may have been waived injured by the Bucs. Or I might take a flyer on McCord, the kid from Syracuse was let go by the Eagles. I do know that there were people in the building that liked him as an alternative pick if they had traded out of number one. They liked him as an alternative pick if they had dealt away the top pick and not taken Cam Ward and chosen a quarterback later on to develop.
What about corner? Because I think there's a lot of question marks here, you know, that they might look at some depth. I feel like Gabe Judy-Lally is on the team right now. But, you know, with L'Jarius Sneed and kind of some unknown there, if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, is that a position that you could see them maybe tweaking as we go along before week one?
Absolutely. I think they got to be on the pulse of everything when it comes to corners, when it comes to edge rushers, when it comes to running backs, and maybe even receivers. I think there are so many places on this roster that could use a little bit of tweaking and a little bit of upgrade. You know, just because somebody gets cut at another place doesn't mean he can't come in and help your football team, especially when you're coming off a season where you went 3-14 and finished tied for the worst record in the league. So, you know, it's going to be a situation where it wouldn't shock me if they claim 4 to 5 guys off waivers to upgrade this roster in certain areas.
Terry McCormick is with us. Terry, you've been out to every practice. You know what's going on out there. We had Tim Hasselbeck on earlier talk about Cam Ward not getting to see him play into the second half. And Tim talked about the volume of snaps. It's concerning going into game one. On your percentage, 0 to 100%, 100 being best, where is Cam Ward right now? I feel he's around 60%, which I don't think is good enough, Terry, when you're heading into your first professional start.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there in the ballpark, Joe. I think, you know, Cam has looked pretty good at times, but he's a rookie, and rookies need reps. And he's going to see things against the Denver Broncos that he never dreamed about in the preseason because teams don't show what they have in the preseason. They're not going to tip their hand. And so, you know, it's a situation where he's going to learn. He's going to get a baptism by fire, so to speak. I think, you know, he's done some good things. I think he is a better fit. The difference between him and Levis last year is that Cam Ward is a fit for how Brian Callahan wants his offense to run. Ball's out of his hands quickly. He doesn't mind taking the short throws and the checkdowns. He's not a play-action vertical quarterback like Tannehill was or Levis was. You know, they're going to take him and mold him the way that he fits this offense. And I think that that's going to be easier to do in the long run than it was to try and convert Will Levis from what he was into what you wanted him to be.
Who does his best friend need to be? We've asked this question from others. John McClain's like Tony Pollard's got to be his best friend. Somebody said Calvin Ridley. Who does Cam Ward's best friend need to be on that starting 11, Terry?
I'll give you two. Dan Moore and J.C. Latham.
Yep.
That needs to be his best friends, in my opinion, because after watching this offensive line get quarterback after quarterback waylaid for the last 2 or 3 years, you know, if they fix the offensive line problem, even though the talent is thin in other areas, that's going to go a long way toward taking a step in the right direction.
Well, you know, ESPN had their preseason rankings about position groups, and they gave the Titans offensive line number 4. And when you look at it, it's pretty damn good. I mean, compared to where this offensive line's been the last couple of years, to see them ranked in the top 10 of anything, and this line ranked at number 4, they got some talent there. I mean, you're right. They got some talent, that offensive line now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key. I think that's what they went back and realized, that was one of the main things that they had to fix. There's 3 things that they had to fix. They had to fix the offensive line to give this offense time to work. They had to weed out the players that didn't fit, you know, the guys who weren't a match for what this offense or this defense is. And then now you've got to start planting the seeds and supplementing that with guys who can play, with playmakers. Calvin Ridley needs help. You know, Tony Pollard needs help. You know, the defense, you know, with Legarius Sneed, Amani Hooker, Jeff Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, they need help, somebody on the edge to make a difference. That may not come this year, but those are the areas where you've got a few foundational pieces in place. Now you got to start adding talent around it.
Do you think Gunnar Helm could be tight end 1 for this team by year's end?
I don't see why not. I mean, Chig Okonkwo is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And, you know, Chig's career has been kind of up and down. You know, people got excited about him, you know, the second half of his rookie year. Then in year 2, he kind of had a little case of the dropsies and people were out on him. Then last year, you know, it was – kind of, you didn't know what you were going to get week to week. One week he was, you know, a big part of the game plan, contributing. The next week he's 1 catch for 8 yards. I think Gunnar Helm is a guy that certainly has come on and shown that he belongs in the league. That catch he made against the Falcons, yeah, I know, it was against insurance salesmen and high school coaches. But, but that's a heck of a play. And that's the type of play that the Titans have been lacking a lot of the last couple of years. I could see if he continues to progress, he could probably be, you know, the future at tight end for this team.
Terry, are you going to fight Adam Schefter for stealing your story earlier today?
No, I just wanted to let him know.
And what story did you have? We'll give you credit. What story did you have before he got it?
I said yesterday that Tajay Spears was likely to go on IR to start the season.
And he did.
Yep. Very good by you, Terry. Hey, appreciate your time today. We'll be talking to you again soon and see how this 53 turns out.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Terry McCormick joining us here on the program. The latest on the Titans and their cuts. We'll talk about some of that and much more. Is, again, the 53, the initial 53, must be set by 3 o'clock today per the NFL rules. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game.